This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date with everything happening here on the station, and you want to listen on demand, you can do so anytime, anywhere, by listening on the audio app. Free to download, free to stream. All the content here, you can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. Check it all out there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving is, of course, the MC of all fun and games here in Memphis, host of Writer Than Right Trivia on the Jeff Calkins Show, host of 901 Wrestling, his website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Mahalo, Jeff.
Mahalo.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Aloha.
Yes, on a great day for Memphis sports. We're counting down.
It is so much better to talk about wins.
Yes, hell yes.
So much better to talk about wins. And we will start with the Tigers here momentarily. We'll do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Surprise! Tiger football also plays tomorrow. Their season, regular season, will end tomorrow.
Is it the only Thanksgiving Day game?
The only college Thanksgiving game.
What is wrong with the world? What is going on? All right, anyway.
I think ESPN did that as a, like, taking a knee for the NFL. And not that, like, the NFL really controls itself, but ESPN is really, because ESPN wanted to get back into the NFL's good graces, because do you remember that period where Monday Night Football was just horrific? Like, we got just terrible, terrible games. And so they've done a lot. They've made a lot of concessions to the NFL to get back in their good graces, because ABC has now gotten back into the Super Bowl rotation.
Yes, they did. Okay, so this is the fact that Tiger fans should not be excited they're playing on Thanksgiving. They're playing on Thanksgiving because they don't want to put a big game on.
Well, you should look at it in this way, though. You're playing on Thanksgiving, and there's no other college football competition.
Correct. No, so that is big. I feel like, but...
There's a decent amount. We have more games on Black Friday in college, and then we also have the Chiefs,
always like
Raiders.
Underrated sports day is that Black Friday.
I just close...
College football historically.
But. I close my eyes, and I see Colorado-Nebraska. Like, that was always the big Black Friday game. Now I think we've turned that into, like, Iowa-Nebraska. But several local teams. That's when Ole Miss will play Mississippi State on Friday.
Yeah, the Egg Bowl.
Georgia will play Georgia Tech on Friday. So, I mean, there's a pretty decent slate on Friday. So, it's a pretty balanced sports week. And obviously, it has been heightened, particularly locally, with how the Tigers are doing. So, we're going to start talking about the Tigers. Coming up next segment, Tigers will take on Auburn. Bruce Pearl's got his boys playing well. Number one team in KenPom currently. They've been almost probably as impressive as the Tigers have been, and it's a fitting matchup for the championship of the Maui Invitational. So we'll take a look at the angles there. We'll get into the list. I was at 901 Wrestling, as Kevin obviously was, because he hosts 901 Wrestling. Great show. Wanted to talk about some of the things that we saw there. Also, that's when we'll get into Grizzlies in action tonight. We did get the injury update yesterday. Ja Morant will be listed as out, so he will not play. But the Grizzlies going up to Detroit tonight to take on the Pistons before coming back for the one of the more fun home games of the year. I always thought the Black Friday home game was a fun one, particularly for the kids coming back from college. That was always a big fun one because then you'd everybody go out together. That was always a fun night. So
yeah, there's something about Thanksgiving, because the Thanksgiving, and I know it's your favorite holiday. It's one of my favorite holidays. We're just here on Thanksgiving Eve, but it's one of those holidays where it does seem like it's that where everybody's kind of doing the same thing, but it's that lacking that pressure, and there is like the homecoming element that is
for sure
that is Thanksgiving. So yeah, anytime the Grizzlies Thanksgiving Day weekend games are always fun. And they're playing Friday night?
They are playing Friday afternoon. That game's moved up to 4.
Oh.
I believe it's a cup game, though.
We think so.
I'm nearly certain.
We know the Tiger game today is, in fact, a Maui Invitational.
Correct.
We know that is in the Maui Invitational.
I can confirm that.
All right. But the cup, who knows?
I'm sorry. The Grizzlies cup? Hosting. I don't. Somebody,
are they hosting Detroit tonight? Because that's
yeah.
Somebody, I was. I thought I was mistaken that there was.
I know. Someone threw it in my head that game was in Detroit. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, that threw me off.
Maybe. But it is Detroit.
They are playing the Pistons, but it's at home.
Yeah, it's at home. Yeah, so it's a home game against Detroit.
And then New Orleans is on Friday.
Which makes sense which also means it could be a great game. There's something in the air when it's Thanksgiving weekend. And
so that's Thanksgiving in the air.
Right, that's exactly what it is.
It's always there for you.
The smell of turkey.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me why Ja is not playing. If you get Detroit at home, it seems like, do you need Ja for that? But we'll talk about that later.
And a chance on Friday to snap the streak. The cup winless streak.
Still have yet
to win a cup game. So that's what the Grizzlies got coming up on deck. We'll also get into the college football playoff rankings during the list. Then we're going to have CJ Hurt join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies when he joins us. We'll find out if he even cares one way or the other about the big game as Michigan takes on Ohio State.
He cares. He cares.
I kind of weirdly talked myself into that game could get a little weird. Ohio State is playing a team that can expose their offensive line injuries and weaknesses for the first time in a while. So we'll talk about that. We'll tell your story. And then we'll get out of here. But of course, it's Wednesday. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, inspired by a question you had for me on the phone before we actually are doing the show. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. This moment right now is the best time for fans of the Penny Hardaway era.
I buy that. I buy it. They're in the championship of the Maui Invitational. Tigers never been in this position before. 6 trips there. To Maui, never made it to the championship of this tournament. But that aside, you look at the path of where we've gotten to here. It's no secret. I'm a schedule guy. I'm an opponents guy, and I want to play some real competition. I want the team I'm cheering for, or just the game I'm watching, to be some competitive game with some real teams. And we've got to see that this week, and with the Tigers on the winning side, like it does not. Like the idea you're beating a UConn, this UConn of all people, you're beating them. I don't care what about Colorado, unless you're talking about Deion Sanders. Don't mention Colorado. And then we've got you go in Michigan State.
Yep.
And then today you've got Bruce Pearl and his top-ranked Auburn squad here. And you get a little nostalgic love-hate relationship that we have there with the guy who could have, should have, maybe someday still will be the Tiger basketball coach, Bruce Pearl, on the other side of the court. So this is what it's all about, Jeffrey. It's about, like, you win a game. Really, because honestly, as a community, we have not been able to experience March Madness in the true fashion in quite some time. And this is as close as we've gotten to that, because like it's like advancing in a tournament, playing real teams, and like I mean, I know it's not the stakes are not on the line, but I was like, this is fun. This is why you want to be successful in March, so you could do this when it really, really counts.
Yeah. So this is where I kind of go back and forth. I think I'm gonna buy it. I would understand the hesitation because I do get the sense from fans, while no one's like rooting against wins, obviously, they're super pumped for the wins and they're glad that the Tigers are winning and winning on a big stage. I still get a little bit of, I sense a little bit of PTSD and maybe the thought of, well, they did, like, this is kind of what happened in the Battle for Atlantis last year. You think about it in these terms.
Right.
All right, Michigan is nowhere near the two-time defending champion that's on a 16-game winning streak and hasn't lost a basketball game since February 20th. Like, Michigan is not UConn in that sense. But then you turn right around and you beat Arkansas in a game that clearly matters more to you from a local element. Like, you can't get that series back, but it was a chance to play Arkansas and kind of tap into the nostalgia feels. But then you turned around and you got punked by Villanova. So I can understand where fans are a little apprehensive. But to me, another key part of it, other than just to your point of who you've beaten, because, like, I don't know, if will this UConn team wind up being a one or a two seed? Like, I have no idea, but I do know this.
We know what they've done the past couple seasons. We know that.
It also seems likely to me, like, you see this from time to time with Gonzaga, where, okay, there's a difference between elite Gonzaga and just good Gonzaga. I think it's kind of going to be the same thing with UConn. I don't know if it's elite UConn, but it's going to be good UConn. And I would be stunned if we're not seeing them as a second weekend team at the minimum. Does that mean this is going to be a national title team? I don't know. It also seems like, yeah, they're kind of figuring their way out. And I still think at the end of the year, they're going to have something to say about it. So I think for sure that counts as a quality win. Michigan State's a little bit more in the, okay, are you more of a brand, a traditional brand, than a quality team still? But I found myself as impressed by yesterday's win as I did the UConn win, simply because that to me felt like the ultimate letdown spot for the Tigers. And you look at in these
right,
terms.
For sure, yeah. I mean,
the game going to overtime, being a grueling game against UConn, Michigan State largely cruised against Colorado. They were able to kind of, you know, they were able to, the level of intensity in their game versus your game was night and day. And so, like, that was a spot where in these quick turnaround tournaments, you can get popped. And not only did they not get popped,
I mean,
they basically controlled the whole game.
Yeah, and you can't ignore Izzo on the other side, right?
For
you
sure.
Had a team that may not be as talented or as highly ranked as they, you know, you're not scared of them like you would be a UConn opponent, but their coach, yeah, their coach. They had the coach. You never want to play any time Izzo is coaching a team. So, yeah. So they could have easily slipped up there. But you're winning that game yesterday. I'm just so excited about the – because I've been the guy, Jeffrey. It's like, you got to show it to me, right? I wasn't expecting to get shown it so early. And maybe I'm being a fool because I didn't believe it last year. I felt last year is what you're talking about, the people who are like, yeah, okay, but we've seen what happens later in the season, right? So I was that way last year when all the hoopla was going on. And because, I mean, honestly, because they did not beat, I guess, you know, the...
Well, and that's the other thing with Michigan State. Like, I don't know, if Michigan State's going to contend for the Big Ten. History suggests this post-COVID that they're not.
Right.
This is still a team that is, like, they have a first four appearance in the weird 2021 NCAA tournament. Still a team that hasn't missed the NCAA tournament under Tom Izzo.
Right.
So it all speaks to that. It's like, I don't know if that's going to be like a top four seed, but I do know this. It seems all but likely they're going to be an NCAA tournament team. And now you just picked up
100%. Yeah, you would definitely believe that. But I don't know. Maybe you could tell me about. I should just think that, because it is very similar, right? We've seen this before.
So the other,
and I told myself not to be fooled by what we've. But I think these wins that we've seen so far and how this is going in the tournament is different than what we saw before because of the level of opponent and the level of play as well. Like you can actually in the limited rotation, some players playing above than what some people on the station thought they were going to be able to do. So I feel like it's different than previous years where it's like the Tigers showed something at the beginning and then eventually it all, you know, fell apart.
Yeah,
like, I feel like these wins are proving something a little bit different. It got me excited earlier, but honestly, if we're being real, like, you should wait and see how they do in the conference when they're playing against opponents that are, because the Tigers seem to be slipping up under this Penny Hardaway era when they're playing against the lesser opponents at home, especially, right?
So, I think the other reason why I'm willing to buy this is I actually think some lessons have been learned. Number one, for the reasons you just listed out, like, Penny could get upset about criticism, but a lot of the criticism wasn't really rooted in trying to kick a man.
Right.
It was rooted in, you're hurting yourself. Cut down the rotations, cut down the number of guys you play, and, I mean, largely it's like, you know, get back to the defensive end. That was largely most of the criticism. Well, what has this team been? A team that has been built in his image that he likes. I also think it's important to note, like, they've identified and they've got two guards that are playing absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
But more importantly, it's like, all right, there's a pecking order. There's a clear rotations, and you're not kind of just doing this whole circus act of, all right, we've got like a hockey line shifts. And it's led to consistency. I also just think, and this is where it's going to be more eye testy, but there's a different level of intensity with this group than with last year's group, particularly on the defensive end. And I also thought it was important with last night's game. Last night's game stylistically could not have been more different than what we saw from the UConn game, which was just like a shot-making like clinic. Whereas last night was more of a, hey, it's going to be a slower paced, it's going to be physical, it's going to be, you know, it's kind of going to be a toughness battle. It was almost like you're going up against an Izzo team. But the other thing that I think is more important than we probably give consideration, even though it's maybe one of those things in sports that you just kind of like assume is true, but I think more than ever, in this era where teams are basically going to be year to year, you're going to have really good leadership. And this team, to me, feels like it has really strong leadership. And it oftentimes helps that...
You're talking about on the court,
yes,
leadership.
Correct.
So player, in the player, jersey, in player, the jersey
there's
leadership.
There's only so much coaches can do, in right. my opinion.
I mean, we've seen that. And so, I mean, we're breaking it. We're analyzing how this is happening right now. Is it different? But to go off of your question, there's one thing I think we can all agree on, is that this is fun. This is what we want it to be. What is happening right now? And I cannot find another moment during the Penny era, because so quickly you can have these highs, but so quickly you get to the lows. That
yes, yeah, so
and because of the fast pace of this, like if this. Of what we're experiencing right now of this Maui Invitational, like we're seeing possibly a very historic moment of the Tigers winning this. What time is the parade? Are they gonna? If we win this the Invitational, Jeffrey, do we get a parade?
That's a great question.
Or do we have a luau? Or what do we do here?
Because then are they flying? I would assume they're flying back tomorrow.
I guess. Or do you have Thanksgiving?
Lunch
at the hotel and then leave? Or you? It's noon there, so they fly back. They could fly back today.
I wonder if they're flying direct. I assume they chartered.
Yeah, I mean, it's the. I don't know. From here to from maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Because I mean, I know obviously they went to San Francisco,
right,
and then to Hawaii. Right. Like I don't know. I assume they've chartered, and so
I would assume to. But
could that be the only Memphis to Hawaii flight, or Hawaii to Memphis flight?
Yeah, I would.
I don't think you have to refuel. I don't think you do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look at that. We actually broke down traveling to Hawaii over the summer. But what was it? Right at the very beginning of football season, wasn't it? When team was like right before the football season started. That team.
Well, because we were trying to do the Maui ends today. Could there theoretically be people that are going to be in Maui on Wednesday,
and then
football game on Thursday.
It's happening.
Dave Aloshin's going
to
be there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So apparently there's going to be some, and I think there's the chartering. I think they leave today. I'm guessing they would leave today based off tomorrow being the holiday. But I'm sure we'll find out about it. The question is, where the Tigers lead? Is this the best? I'm excited about the Penny Hardaway era right now.
So I guess
I don't know if it's going to change anything if they end up. And I ask you what your thought, but like if it ends up tank, like okay, so obviously they could win the Maui Invitational today. And things could go wrong in the future, and that's what you're just concerned about because we have not seen a consistent season from start to finish from the Penny Hardaway era.
I guess the question I would have is, right now I think it's like a 9 or 10 point spread. Let's say they lose by 10.
Okay.
Does that pump the brakes for you at all?
I don't think so because of what
it was still a good trip.
It exceeded expectations, right?
Well, and it's like. If anyone would have tossed out 3-1 from the San Francisco to Maui trip, almost every person would have taken it. And so the other times that I was thinking of, when they went to Knoxville and won, that was a pretty joyous time. Remember, we got the videos of Alex in the locker room, like they were calling Wiseman, celebrating, but that quickly evaporated when all of a sudden Wiseman announces he's leaving the team. And so because that Knoxville
you're right.
That
I think
Knoxville
there was...
win was, remember, it was like, oh my God. Now that Tennessee team wound up being just kind of meh, but at the same time, the euphoria was, I think they'd won like 7 straight, and on top of that, it's like we're getting James back. Like it's gonna be this is that was a pretty
that's like this that's our that's the we're experiencing our COVID brain fog from
yes.
this, right? Because this was pre-COVID.
Correct.
That's how far you gotta go back to the last time that you can remember a moment where the city believed. And that really was it. Like that's really was still a time and
the only other time I would also add is the day that they ran Houston out of the building, won the AAC title. Because that team was a pretty consistent basketball team. And even though they didn't...
Sure.
Even though they hadn't beaten...
They ain't better than Houston. This, Jeffrey. I mean...
Well, think about it this way. They beat number one Houston. Now, Houston sat...
That's true. I mean, that's...
Houston sat a couple of guys.
I think the problem was Houston. Like, I fall into the brand matters type of stuff just as bad as other people
do. No, it's like,
do,
despite like, Houston...
Because it was Houston. If it was a different team that was number one and the Tigers did the same thing, too, it'd be more exciting. It's just, we got tired of, like, Houston being the only team that...
Yes.
You know.
And it's like, I think there's probably a legitimate argument, like, Houston's basketball program the last 5 years has been a better program than Michigan State. It obviously hasn't been a better program then.
Exactly.
It obviously
hasn't
been a better program
than UConn. But it does not mean as much.
But you're right. There's just a...
You just get tired.
Well, I mean, because John Martin made this point earlier today. Part of the magic of the 08 tournament run was not only was it just smoking people during the whole run, it was like beating brands.
Right. Yes, UCLA, Michigan State was
Texas,
all in there.
Like it was that was another part that like made it was not
only
like just
big time Texas.
Winning and winning big, it was who you were beating and how badly you were beating them. Like that was another big part of
it. And for Memphis, that is especially important because of the regular season and because you don't get to beat brands very often because you don't get to play these other brands very often. So when Houston is, you know, was in your conference and they, it just didn't mean as much because it was Houston, right? But still, to me, great examples. I do think the James Wiseman one, again, I can't get past maybe it is COVID brain fog.
Yes.
I cannot really put myself back in position of that time. But that's how far you got to go back is that early before we really got. Because so many people don't believe since then, right? Like since
the
amount of non-believers since that moment, and this week is changing that. I think in a major way.
I also think it's been greatly aided by the fact that this Maui Invitational. I don't know if it was an emphasis from ESPN. I don't know. Maybe if it was the result of, hey man, the games in this tournament have been really good, but it does feel like this Maui Invitational has been kind of a throwback, and it's felt like it's more significant because while Maui forever was the gold standard of the preseason, or not the preseason, but you know the early season multi-team event, you now had a bunch of other ones that were making pushes, and its significance was a little bit diluted. It feels like in terms of the sports landscape, the Maui Invitational has kind of gotten back to the place where it once was.
No, I mean it definitely this feels like an important, you know, at the end of the day, so this is college basketball. Most people are distracted by other things right now. This is what, you know, really makes this city so special, was love for this sport and this team, right? But I mean, you can't ignore that. If you turn on ESPN and they're carving out so much programming talking about the University of Memphis, and they're talking about Auburn, they're showing the highlights of the other teams, they're giving the graphics of these are the teams they beat to get there.
Yeah.
And it feels in that way because of how ESPN hypes it up, because they hype up everything.
For sure.
That adds to me the amount of special this week is and the fun that it has been. I'll let you know next week, I guess, how I'll feel depending on the result of this game. I don't think any result to this game can make us feel like that bad. You know, I don't think any result.
Not see the Villanova game again.
Right.
Because the thing that made, I don't actually think it was losing to Villanova that kind of made people have the wind taken out of their sails a little bit. I think it was the fact of how they got beat by Villanova, where it was like, you know, they're down 35. Like, right. It was just a non-competitive game. I think that was more significant.
But even getting blown out, I don't think that will.
I'm just not sure.
I think
I would be surprised if they get blown out. That doesn't mean that, like, I wouldn't think Auburn would cover, but I would be surprised if we saw a repeat of the Villanova script. That would take me by surprise. All right. Along the same lines, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's get a definitive answer. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. This team is different than last year's team.
Oh, well, that one's that's this year's team different? I buy that. Yeah.
Beyond the construct. What I mean by that is I can make the case. Now, I think that team had lost a game before. I think this is the best start. Munz tweeted out, this is the best start. Memphis is 6-0 for the first time since 2010-2011. During that year, the Tigers beat one top 100 KenPom team during the stretch, and at this point, Memphis has 5 top 100 KenPom wins. But it is similar in the comparison to last year as this is. You had won the first two games. You beat Michigan. You beat Arkansas in the Battle for Atlantis, another big-time MTE, and you're now going to play in the championship game. So, like, kind of the same makings, and last year's non-conference schedule was not the problem, or non-conference record was not the problem. The question really boils down to, if this team goes 13-2 in non-con play, are you going to be sweating conference play based on what you saw last year? Or do you think this team is constructed differently, that they won't go through those same issues?
I've always caution the Tiger fans going into this season. I don't think you needed to anymore. Honestly, we had gotten to the point that so many people agreed, like, this has been, you know, a penny coach here, and we wish him well, but not expecting that much. And this year, I'm starting to expect that this could be the year. I believe that they could be better come. Yeah, the conference play, come when you put it, whatever. I think the tournament, wherever you want to put it. Like, it's from what I've seen, because PJ is doing a great job, right?
Yes.
Like, as you mentioned, it seems something different on the court. But also, like, if you want to talk about the intensity and that and all of that, does it matter who they're playing? Like,
Tyrese Hunter's obviously been phenomenal. Tyrese may not want to leave the island. Like, that's how good he's been.
Can we play the home games over there?
Might have to get, like, Tyrese just might have to exclusively wear Hawaiian shirts the rest of the year. Like, we might have to get to that.
How can we bring that vibe to FedEx 4?
I think the biggest reason I'm buying this, there's a different look in their eye. And last year's team felt more like a collection of players. Like, even like on offense, like, it was taking turns offensively a lot. They weren't really all that particularly interested in the defensive side of the ball. And when things started going south for that team, it had a tendency to spiral. Even in a non-conference schedule, that they largely rolled through. But if you think back to last year, like, Jackson State was kind of a sleepwalky game, and you could say, well, the first game this year was too. They beat Missouri, and that was fun. Blew them out in the second half. But then, like, the Alabama State game was still kind of sleepy. And then you had the back-to-back losses against Villanova and Ole Miss. Then they kind of they got it done against VCU in overtime. Had a really good win at A&M. Come back for what I thought was the most fun home game of the year when they beat Clemson. That crowd was rocking and rolling. They blow out Virginia. But I kind of pinpoint, if you can think back to the Vanderbilt game, it was like on a Saturday, I want to say like right before Christmas. And it was one of those games where you escaped and you kind of tried to file it away. Like, well, you know, you can't blow out everyone. Like, sometimes you're just going to have those kind of games. You'd rather have a clunker and win than have a clunker and lose. And you kind of talked yourself that way. Then they came back and they were kind of lethargic again against Austin Peay. They had to hit a buzzer beater to beat Tulsa, buzzer beater to beat SMU. They had to go to overtime to beat UTSA. And then you thought, okay, maybe that slide's over with, because then they went to Wichita State and like set a record for threes, a school record for threes. And you're like, okay, everything's solved. Well, then they came back and you had the snowstorm or the winter, whatever we had against South Florida, where they told everybody not to come to the game for safety reasons. And then that was that weird South Florida game where they blow the big lead and South Florida beats them. Then they go and they lose at Tulane. They lose at UAB. And then they come home and they have one of the worst losses of Penny's career when they lose to Rice. And then that was kind of when it was just, at that point, just a disaster. I would be very stunned if the team went through something like that, because this team seems to be locked in. And also, when you go back to, I think lessons have been learned, I think Penny knew he made a mistake by overemphasizing the non-conference schedule. But it was understandable what he was doing, because when you play the conference schedule, as we've talked about, we're not harping on it, but when you play that, your opportunities to build your resume happen in the early non-conference part of your regular season schedule. And so because of that, I don't think they took the regular season seriously. I suspect, like, we haven't heard the narrative coming out of the team of like, well, hey, this is our season. Like, I think that they're going to have the right approach.
All right.
And the guard play is just better. And that's not revisionist history, because Quinterly had some good games. I'm talking about consistently 99. Even when P.J. Haggerty isn't shooting the ball particularly great, he's still making winning plays. And like, I kind of focus on that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of being more optimistic. I can't. Obviously, we're hitting the game tonight, right? It's 4:00, actually. Not really tonight. We're just about 90 minutes away from tip off in Maui here, and it's. I believe the Tigers. You know, I think people are going to be watching this game tonight, and I think I'm with it. You know,
I'll be surprised if it's not competitive. I do think Auburn's really good, but I'll be surprised if it's not a competitive game.
They are ranked really well, right? They're high up there, but you look at the. It's early in the season. You're in Maui. It's the day before Thanksgiving. There's a chance, and people are going to be tuning in where there's a chance. And there's excitement with the actual stakes on the line for the Tiger basketball team tonight. Yes, it's the Maui Invitational. But I mean, here we are. I mean, I thought this week, Jeffrey, if I was going to be talking about Maui this week, I'd be talking about Maui with my daughter.
Yeah.
This would be recapping Moana 2. But we're talking Maui. On the radio 24/7 right now, and deservingly so, because the Tigers are going to possibly win the Maui Invitational. I'm telling you, it's possible. They're going to possibly win it tonight. It's going to happen.
We'll take a look at what...
They got to go against Bruce Pearl, which makes it even more exciting of a game, right? Like, even on any day. I mean, I just want quality opponents. So, like, you've got the Tigers versus Auburn when the Tigers are playing on the level that they've been playing. I won't say that any day, but today they're playing... in the championship game of the Maui Invitational against Bruce Pearl and Auburn. All right, yes, this is what you want as a fan. This is what you want.
Right after that the turnaround tomorrow, the Tiger plays Tulane. So we're going to talk about the storylines coming up for both games. We'll do that next. But before we do that, I want to remind you that, of course, the Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday event is one of Memphis's best traditions, and you're going to want to take advantage of it, because when you go to the Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday sale, you can buy gifts that give gifts. That means that you can buy a 1/5 carat diamond hoop earring that is set in 10 karat gold for $549. Get a free pair of JBL noise canceling headphones. Also, the super popular Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets. Bracelets are flexible and contoured to fit her wrist. You can wear one or even stack a few for a bolder look, which makes the perfect gift for her. If you spend $999 or more, get a free Nintendo Switch. It's also, of course, a big part of the engagement season, because everybody's got holidays around the family. You want to perhaps pop the question during this holiday season. If you go spend $49.99 or more on the engage ring, you get a free 85-inch smart TV. Also, if you want to do what I did on my wife's engagement ring, you can custom make your engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's super simple. Come in with pictures, drawing, something that's in your head, and they will make it come to life. You'll pick out the loose diamond that you'll set in the middle, and they will set it for you. It looks fantastic, and you can do so with peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reasons, you have 365 days to return it. Full purchase price, no questions asked. They don't do this to give you, you know, the safety net if you're thinking about, like, oh, maybe that's because they're not going to like it. No, they're offering this because they know you're going to love it. Like, it's just to give you a little bit of extra peace of mind. They also have free ring sizing for life, diamond trade-up, as well as the free jewelry spa service. Black Friday sale is going on now. See stores for details while supplies last. You can also check out free financing with bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. Tigers and Tigers and Tigers and Green Wave. We'll talk about it next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We got a fresh batch of college football playoff rankings. We'll talk about that during the next segment when we get into the list. But I also want to remind you that it's never too early to start thinking about the big game. Over at Zen Sports, for the rest of the month, so that's through this weekend, you can still have your chance to enter into the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you could win a grand prize of 2 VIP tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, or $10,000 cash. Also, Zen Sports is going to be giving away an additional 50 prizes, which include 2 tickets to any sporting event in the state of Tennessee, or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn 1 entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay place. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and sign up today with Zen Sports. And if you use my promo code JeffTN, JeffTN, you'll receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports and download their app today. Zen Sports betting just got better. For a problem gambling sport, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. All right, we got 2 big ones here in about the, I guess within 26 hours. The Tigers here in just about an hour and 15 minutes will tip off in Maui for the right to win their first ever Maui Invitational. They'll take on Auburn. Right now, currently, the Tigers are 9-point underdogs, but it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Which Tigers?
The Memphis Tigers are 9-point underdogs. Not the Plainsmen, I know that. pick a right nickname, Auburn. Come on, what are you?
Yeah, what are you?
I feel like that might have faded away, because I don't think that was a good joke in the 90s. But as a 9-point underdog, it's not like this is unprecedented. Memphis already won 2 days ago as a 9-point underdog.
Right.
And this was kind of another point that I would like to make. I'm not saying the betting spread's the be-all, end-all, but what it is a reflection of is, are you overperforming expectations? And last year, the Tigers started 5-0. They were 5-0, but they were just 3-2 against the number. And usually the early part of the question, or early part of the season, is when you start racking up a bunch of ATS wins, because it's a bunch of bye games and it's a bunch of inferior opponents and you're supposed to just blow them out of the water. In non-conference play, the Tigers went 11-2, but they were just 6-7 against the number. So there was kind of that uneven, not really performing as well as they should have. It's why KenPom even wrote up an article about, okay, let's take a look at what Memphis is doing. Is this real? Is this sustainable? You're not going to see any such articles from KenPom right now because the Tigers have been exceeding expectations, because in this 6-0 start, five top 100 wins against KenPom, top 100 teams, and they're 6-0 against the spread. But there's some added extra juice, as Kevin has mentioned. This could be a fantastic run. You beat the gold standard currently in college basketball of UConn. You beat a Hall of Famer in Tom Izzo, and then perhaps another future Hall of Famer in Bruce Pearl. But there's also just an added element of it's fun to beat Bruce Pearl.
Right. Bringing that back. I mean, the storylines, I'm a storyline guy, you know. I come from the world
you
of
and
professional wrestling. And you get the storylines of beating the, like you said, the top brand right now in college basketball currently is UConn, right? And they have the championship pedigree coming in to this season. And you beat them. They haven't lost since February. You beat them. And so you're beating the best. Then you're beating Tom Izzo, who's like that legend, right? He's a legend in this.
Living legend.
Living legend who's still, you know, at it. And there's not many of those left in college basketball,
no,
honestly.
He is clearly the last of a dying breed.
Yeah, he's the last
like
one to say. He's the last one to say, to hell with it. I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
And then now today you've got Bruce Pearl, your old rival, coming back. The charismatic guy that you kind of wanted to be your coach. You might still want to be your coach, depending on who you talk to. And
today I think everybody's pretty cool.
Everybody's cool with Penny today. And Bruce is going to be on the other side. And you know, he's just fun to watch anyway, right? He's a character. And so you've got... You couldn't ask for more exciting matchups here. All happening, of course, in the Maui Invitational. All playing for something today. Auburn, you got to keep in mind, they've also never won the Maui Invitational.
I think there's only been one SEC team, I believe Kentucky.
Right, and they also have a big football game this week that should mean more than it's actually going to mean for them.
The way Bama's playing, all of a sudden they think they got a shot.
Right, and then... But this is honestly, Jeffrey. Like, if you look at the Tiger basketball schedule, there's some very intriguing games coming up for Tiger fans. Obviously, some important games. But you know, you got Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Clemson and Virginia. But this is the biggest game remaining on the schedule is today. Like, there's not another bigger game that the Tigers are going to play until March, if they're lucky enough to play another game until March. Is there not another one? Is there? Am I missing something?
I mean, it depends. I think that's fair to say, because I don't think any remaining...
The storylines tied to it, the stakes on the line, and the ranking of the opponent. Because
I don't think the Clemson road game... Like, Clemson's a good team again, but I still don't think the road game there will qualify.
There's Clemson. There's Virginia.
I guess it's a question of you got Mississippi State and Ole Miss at home. They're home games.
And those games matter every year.
But I still think that you're right. In the end, that's just another regular season game. This is the opportunity to actually put your name in a little bit of history.
To do that, also make the statement early, which is going to help if you do slip up. It's tough. I hate the American Athletic Conference and that schedule. It's hard to just win every single game there and run the table, right? And
you could become the second non-power league winner of the Maui Invitational ever. Gonzaga's won one.
They
won two.
Gonzaga's done it. And they have a shorter plane ride.
Yes.
But they have done it. But I don't think that matters. I don't think that, you know, that's not mattering right now. But I think, you know, win or lose is going to be, you know, I think everybody's going to be satisfied with the Tigers. But I do believe there is a belief going into today that the Tigers could beat Auburn, and that, at least from the fan base. And that's all you need right now. That's what you need. That's one thing that it's hard to make people believe. And I feel like I think we can believe now. I think it's possible.
I was trying to think back to the 08 season.
And that's a great example.
We knew that team, okay, they've added Derek, and they've added it to a team that has won, you know, that's gone to the Elite Eight three straight years. But I was trying to remember if there was like a specific moment where you're like, this team's special. And you kind of knew they were on for a different ride, because they went and they had the Oklahoma and UConn games at the neutral site.
I mean, yeah, I mean, going back to 08, because some of it by that point was so routine, right? The routine we've been stuck in is like, don't get your hopes up because something could possibly go wrong. That's the recent routine, at least to me. It's like, okay, well, they'll be okay for a minute and then, uh-oh. But like back then, the routine was they're going to run the table for Conference USA, right? Like you're going to blow teams out by 30 to 40 points. You're going to just dominate every opponent. And they weren't necessarily doing it on too much of a different scale back in 08, but the fun of that tournament was who you're playing. But that's kind of the fun of any NCAA tournament, and that but you got to get there and you got to win there, and we haven't had a taste of that in so long. For Tiger fans, we've gotten there. You can win one game, and who was the one win against there? Like we've beaten. It wasn't even. Who did we just beat in there? Did we beat Boise? Who was it in the tournament? Who did we beat in the
Boise.
Tournament? Right. So it's not like we're...
Boise and then Gonzaga down at the half.
Yeah. So that was fun, but that part of the fun of the Gonzaga game is that you were playing Gonzaga in the tournament. Well, like, that was, you know...
And then you got timid.
Yeah.
Because at the half, I'm sitting there going, like, they're going to do this. Because, like, they were just so much more physical. It's like, they're going to pull this off.
And that's another part of a moment. We're talking about what... There's only been a few that have been the super exciting, this is so great to be... a Memphis fan during the Penny era. There's been so many obstacles and so many.
It's been a roller coaster. It's been a ride. I don't know if it's ever been like a consistent ride, but what I do think that you touch on that I think is right. I do think today is kind of that free shot opportunity. And if you can pull this off, not only do you get hardware and something that's like a legitimate piece of hardware, but you also kind of let the people know, like, get on board. Like the Dr. Pepper hype train is full steam ahead. And part of what is fun about sports is the whole ride with a team. And yeah, it's been diminished a little bit because of the nature of college sports. And you don't have the familiarity with the players like you once did. But at the end, it's rooting for your team. And every team that's a good team, you'll find like connections to them. And so like to me, this would be one of those days that you could really sit there. And tomorrow, as you're eating Thanksgiving, and as Kevin had pointed out to me, shout out to the Tigers for giving everyone something else to talk about at Thanksgiving other than an election or something along. You can give people something that's fun to talk about.
This is the underrated story of the week. I mean, the University of Memphis Tigers men's basketball team down there in Maui, they have, no matter whose side you're on what happened with this election, we are still very close to it. This nation is still very divided. There was only a few votes that separated the winners there at the top. And here come the Tigers at the right time. Have some positive energy and some positive conversations that we all can have at Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. Shout out to the Tigers. Very underrated move by Penny this week. Like this is the best thing he's done to give back in a long time. Penny's given so much to this community, but this moment this week, he's given us something we can all quickly just switch that conversation to, Jeffrey, if you need to. You're going to be like, well, how about that Maui invitation?
How about them Tigers, huh? Enough of the tariff talk. How about the Tigers,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Thank you. Happy thank. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful definitely for the Maui Invitational. No matter what happens here tonight, but we're about an hour away from tip off.
All right. Here's the other thing I want to talk a little bit about. So, Tiger football is going down to New Orleans, and I don't know if I realize this or not. Do you know the last time the Tigers have won in New Orleans?
You know, it felt like that was a tradition, like winning the conference in basketball. But so I'm guessing it's been a while.
2016, Mike Norvell's first year.
What?
It's the last time they won at Tulane.
You alternate every year, but yeah. Well, okay.
So here's the interesting thing.
We're getting close to a decade.
I think there's maybe the perception of somewhat meaningless because the reality is, even if you win this, you don't have anything to say about the conference title. Like this isn't like there was a way to set this game up. If you beat UTSA or you beat Navy, there was a way to set this game up, and it could have been a really, really big game, but it's not. I weirdly have kind of talked myself into it being a more important game than maybe will meet the eye.
Well, tell me, besides the fact that it's the only college football game on Thanksgiving this year.
Yep.
Why and why, after spending so much time this week watching Tiger basketball on television, am I going to have to say, we got to watch some, convince the family, we got to turn the Tiger football game on when they have no chance at the conference title? They're going to go to what, the Birmingham Bowl again?
Maybe they, Fenway. It kind of is going to depend
oh,
on.
Oh, really?
It's going to kind of depend on, does Tulane work its way into the playoff?
What damage can we do to Tulane by beating them, I guess? That's fine.
So, essentially, what would happen is if Tulane loses and Army beats UTSA, Army would host the championship game.
Army, wow.
But if both lose, then it comes down to the rankings. And if last night was an indicator, Army losing to UTSA is going to be considered a worse loss than Tulane losing to Memphis.
For
and
sure.
Likely Tulane would host. But I actually am not even looking at it in those terms of, because you don't even really have the spoil somebody season kind of narrative going. I'm looking at it like this. Do you know Ryan Silverfield's record as a road underdog? True road game. So not like a bowl game where you're wearing white jerseys.
Well, they just won at Florida State, so he does all right.
That's the one.
That's the one.
1-10. Just 3-8 against the number. But also what I think is important is I think we're kind of back to where everyone was with Ryan before last year, in which, yes, everyone acknowledges this is better than Tiger football in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, but the league's worse, your job's better, and these are teams that you have a better program than and you should be beating, and you're not contending in a league yet again. I do think, though, if you go and win this game, you can do the spin zone in your head, and which is this. The only reason we're not in that freaking game is because the schedules were unbalanced, the league is bigger, and the schedules are unbalanced. Army got a cake schedule. That's why they're there. But really, we proved the two best teams in the league. It's kind of like when we had division play, and the two best teams, like the game of the century that was truly not the game of the century, it was awful football. But when Alabama and LSU in 2011 played on that massive game, LSU wins in overtime, but Alabama ends up winning a national title. Basically, you can talk yourself into it. The only reason why we're not in the championship game is because of scheduling mechanics. But we've proven the two best teams are Tulane and Memphis. We've proven now that we can go there and win on the road. And I honestly think it's the last real chance for Silverfield to make a statement to the fan base, like, I am the guy for this. Because right now it feels like, well, he's the guy for this because his contract says he is.
Yeah. I agree.
It's obviously a huge game for Ryan because also it's a 2-year extension instead of a 1-year.
I agree. Some of the idea I agree with.
I didn't quite get
you
there.
I don't know.
All right, push back then.
Well, I mean, I feel like I agree because Memphis and Tulane, and especially throughout the